Alright, this is Pure Decking, show number 567 for Thursday, June 27th, 1972. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and if you're going to debate, maybe keep some cough drops in your pocket, just as a thought. And tonight, why not? Tonight, he works as a unemployed... unpaid DJ at the local Chuck E. Cheese, and the children don't stop complaining. Mad Men.
Yeah, but they started serving beer there. So, I'm happy.
Wait, did they really start serving beer at Chuck E. Cheese?
Yep. Two drinks are all they'll give you. And then you have your friend go up and get you two more drinks because they're not drinking because they think it's irresponsible to drink at a Chuck E. Cheese. Not that it's irresponsible to give the fat drunk guy more beer, but it's irresponsible for them to drink at a Chuck E. Cheese.
It's only irresponsible to give the fat drunk guy more beer if he's already in the ball pit.
Oh, I have to get out of the ball pit to drink the beer.
Were you in the ball pit?
Well, they got me out of the ball pit.
And he's the man who convinced Chuck E. Cheese to serve alcohol. Are you for it?
I mean, Madman, you keep doing fucking hijinks like this. I'm gonna send a camera crew to follow you. You know, it's gonna be a great little fucking Truman Show.
Oh yeah. Here's the half hour of him sitting on the crapper, thinking, "How do you wipe your ass with a pulled muscle?" Wonderful television.
With a rag on a stick. I think we already established that.
Gross.
So you guys know I've been out in the community a little bit more lately, and a lot of people I talk to, they're like, "Oh my God, youth crime. I'm like, yeah, I was a little worried about youth crime until yesterday. I'm just sitting there having a cigarette, minding my own business. Fucking two young guys about 17, 18, screaming around the corner of a shop. Stop and start dividing up the contents of plastic bag full of goldfish, live goldfish. At this point, one of them's realized that I'm sitting there smoking a cigarette, stunned to see someone there has gone, "Hey man, we just stole these goldfish," and took off running down the street.
Like, goldfish, fucking, who the fuck cares?
You stole goldfish. Between here and wherever you stole a goldfish, you passed about 12 facial recognition cameras. Plus where you're standing outside of the pub, which has facial recognition cameras and microphones on there to pick up what people are saying, you just announced to the world that you stole goldfish. Now, I'm not so much worried about youth crime anymore. I'm more worried about the youth committing fucking retarded crimes. Because think about it. You didn't just steal goldfish, you stole wildlife. You stole invasive species wildlife. You're a fucking idiot. If they decide to throw the book at you, you ruined your life for a fucking goldfish. You know what I mean? These kids aren't make... And I bet you they both had fucking phones in their pockets, and I guarantee you when the cops pick them up for stealing fucking goldfish, these idiots are going to have video of them committing other fucking crimes on their phone. Hey, yes, I'm worried about youth crime. I'm just worried about the intelligence of the youth committing the crime.
Well, at some point, that becomes a self-correcting problem.
But then again, there's so many idiots committing idiot offenses, there's not enough positions to put them in the prisons, so they have to let them fucking back out to commit idiot fucking crimes. You know what I mean? So it just becomes a cyclical fucking roundabout, man.
No, you should mob in Nauru.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, madman.
It's a nice tropical island, once considered a paradise. They can stay there.
Once considered.
I mean, like, I holiday at Guantanamo Bay every year. It's a beautiful bay. The peninsula is nice.
I mean, you have to avoid the prison camp, but...
It was once considered a very beautiful area, Madman. Now it has a fucking giant prison on it.
Yeah, but... Not a prison there. It's just, you know, some nice real estate. One road going around the island. Don't go into the interior. You're fine.
I cannot connect to the IRC for some reason. I don't know what's going on here.
No, neither can I. I'm blaming the IRC.
Yeah, well, that's probably fair, actually, since... So, anyways, I guess we'll get into it here. And next week, you guys are writing your own fucking intros.
Maximum effort goal.
It's like I'm going to get a note from RU about 5 minutes before the show. Just say my name. Damn it. So, first story I have up for us is from Ars Technica. Internet Archive forced to remove 500,000 books after publisher's court win. So, this is an interesting one because I always thought the Internet Archive was kind of a library. So,
that's what I thought it was, too.
Yeah. As a result of book publishers successfully suing the Internet Archive last year, the free online library that strives to keep growing online access to books recently shrank by about 500,000 titles. IA reported in a blog post this month that publishers abruptly forcing these takedowns triggered a devastating loss for readers who depend on Internet Archive to access books that are otherwise impossible or difficult to access. To restore access, Internet Archive is now appealing, hoping to reverse the prior court's decision by convincing the U.S. Court of Appeals in the Second Circuit that Internet Archive's controlled digital lending of its physical books should be considered fair use under copyright law. An April court filing shows that IA intends to argue that the publishers have no evidence that the ebook market has been harmed by the Open Library's lending. That's not a strong argument. And the copyright law is better served by allowing Internet Archive's lending rather than preventing it. I mean, I don't disagree with them, but that's not a strong legal argument. Because you don't have to show harm in a copyright case. You just have to show that it's happening. And depending on all the little technical details that they're probably not going to talk about in this article, you could argue it.
If you're talking about novels and stories and stuff like that, yeah, you should probably have to, unless it's like one of the greats. You probably should have to pay for it, but if it's instruction manuals and stuff like that, no, that should be available constantly.
Oh, some of that shit's hard to find.
It is, but I think it should be up there.
I was trying to find some of the old, because you used to be able to get these old books. I remember seeing them on a lot of the early electrical experiments with like Van de Graaff generators and the generators that generate static electricity, Leyden jars, things like that. Just because I thought combining some of these old school electrical experiments with 3D printed apparatus could be something kind of fun to play with, you know? Generate a static shock, you know, shock yourself, giggle, you know, that's about as far as I was really planning on going with it. But I would tell Suave I'm working on anti-gravity just to listen to him lose his mind.
I collect encyclopedias. That's my little niche book collection thing at the moment.
Well, I bet the really interesting thing to do with an encyclopedia is wait for somebody to say something on TV and then go look up what it was 10 years ago and make sure they still match.
Well, dude, I had a great set of encyclopedias, but they got thrown away when my father-in-law moved.
And even when they were published, everything about their countries are going to be completely wrong.
Yeah, no, they're great. I used to read them for fun. Just because they were very interesting. Because they were published back in the, I think it was late 50s.
Oh,
some of those
yeah.
countries don't even exist anymore.
Geography is completely fucked in that.
Yeah. It's really interesting. You're like these niche little countries that only survived for like 30 years after the Second World War and then were incorporated. But yeah, they're great. And currently collecting ocean maps. That's mainly just for soil and green crops, but
You know, I found the other day going through some stuff, a map my grandfather had given me of, I believe it was Puerto Rico. And it was a map from like, I want to say in like 95, but it was one of those big ones, the ones you unfold out and it would like cover half a wall, like a poster.
I've been looking for those, man. I cannot find them anywhere.
Oh, they don't make them anymore. But I
know.
I was surprised because it wasn't yellowed. It's like I'd had the thing since I was a kid. It just got squirreled away on a bookshelf, right? And I found this thing the other day. It's like, that is so cool. And it's been set aside again, so I'll have to find it again. But I know it's around here somewhere. But yeah, it was just one of these things that was really cool to find.
When it comes to the digital lunging, I wonder what they're hitting the archive on, because libraries are allowed to do digital lending. I've got an app on my phone for temporarily downloading audiobooks from a library.
We talked about the story back when it was in court. Pretty much what was happening was, okay, so the way the law is written, for a library to do digital lending, they can lend out as many digital copies as they have physical copies. And I think they have to consider that physical copy lent out while the digital copy is checked out. So theoretically, Madman, your library has a physical book that when you check out that digital version of it, they're putting a little tag in there saying, we can't lend out this physical book because Madman has the digital one.
Yeah.
God, I wish banks operated like that.
Yeah, really. They just make more of it. They just kept the same dollar, five, six, 20.
Exactly.
It's like 90 some odd times by the time it's done that they count the same
how
dollar.
Is that not money piracy?
FICO, basically.
Yeah. I know. I mean, if only.
But anyways, so what Internet Archive did was during COVID, when you had all these libraries shut down, they got agreements from these libraries to let the Internet Archive lend out digital copies of these other libraries' books. And that library was closed, so it's like they couldn't lend them out anyways, right? Well, because the Internet Archive didn't own them, they were quote-unquote borrowing them from other libraries. They're saying that's copyright infringement and that they lent out way more copies than they actually had. So, back to the article here. Oh, go ahead.
You'd think people would just be happy people are reading.
Nobody can enjoy anything unless I get my cut.
It is what the real story is.
Let's see. Okay. Back to the article here. Quote, we use industry standard technology to prevent our books from being downloaded and redistributed. The same technology used by corporate publishers. Unquote. Chris Freeland, IA's... I hit a button. IA's director of library services wrote in the blog, quote, but the publisher suing our library says we shouldn't be allowed to lend books we own. They have forced us to remove 500,000 books from our library, and that's why we're appealing, unquote. IA will have the opportunity to defend its practices, and oral arguments start in the appeal on June 28th, so tomorrow. Quote, our position is straightforward. We just want to let library patrons borrow and read books we own, like any other library, unquote, Freeland wrote. While arguing the, quote, potential repercussions of this lawsuit extend far beyond the Internet Archive, unquote, and that publishers should just, quote, let readers read, unquote. Quote, this is a fight for the preservation of all libraries and the fundamental right to access information, cornerstone of any democratic society, unquote, Freeland wrote. Quote, we believe the right of authors to benefit from their work, and we believe that libraries must be prevented to fulfill their mission of providing access to knowledge, regardless of whether it takes physical or digital form. Doing so upholds the principle that knowledge should be equally and equitably accessible to everyone, regardless of where they live or where they learn, unquote. After publishers won an injunction stopping IA's digital lending, which, quote, limits what we can do with our digitized books, unquote, IA's help page said the open library started shrinking. While quote, removed books are still available to patrons with print disabilities, unquote, everyone else has been cut off, causing many books in IA's collection to show up as borrow unavailable. Ever since, IA has been inundated with requests or inquiries from readers all over the world searching for removed books, Freeland said. And quote, we get tagged in social media every day where people are like, why are there so many books gone from our library? Unquote, Freeland told Ars. An open letter to publishers signed by nearly 19,000 supporters. IA fans begged publishers to reconsider forcing takedowns and quickly restore access to the lost books. I don't feel like we need to read the rest of it because it's all pretty much, you know, the publishers say they had a right to do this. How many of these books are still in print? You're talking about a huge collection here.
And I'm wondering, the IA is saying they own these books, so they actually have copies of these books?
That's what they're claiming, yes.
And then I guess the publishers are claiming that you're lending out more copies than you actually own, would be, I guess, the publisher's argument.
Unless I'm mixing up my court cases, I believe that was the argument, yes.
All right. An easy thing just to prove or disprove and then have it thrown out. We have 100 copies of Catcher in the Rye. As you can see, we were only lending out 100 at a time.
Well, I think Catcher in the Rye is probably public domain at this point, but that's not...
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think. Whatever. Isn't public domain, because I do know if it's public domain, it doesn't really matter. Which is also one problem of finding hard copies of certain books. Once it hits public domain, having a printer print one, it's kind of hard, unless it's something niche that they're going to sell. Like every Halloween, they might do a run of Dracula, but other than that...
Yeah. Well, what was the website? I had found this really cool website a couple of weeks ago. It was basically an online used bookshop. Let's see if I can find it. Because I ordered a couple of things off there. It was Thrift Books. That's what it was. And you could actually order a physical book off of it. But it was interesting website that I had found. Though are you this link? Because I know he likes this stuff.
Digital copies are great, but hard copies is where it's at for me.
I prefer hard copies of everything.
Well, you are much less likely to have the publisher reach in and edit your copy of 1984 if it's in print rather than on your Kindle.
The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn had that shit happen to it. Kindle did that.
Leave my nigger Jim alone.
I thought it was African-American Jim now.
It is, I think.
That they're trying to push, and it diminishes the story doing that.
Well, it's like, you can't just explain to people that, yes, this book was published in the 1800s. People thought different words were a little bit different back then.
Oh, no.
You shouldn't even need to explain it.
Mark Twain chose that for a reason. He was being insulting for a reason.
Reason.
When you read the book, towards the end of it, when he has the dilemma of... turning Jim in. Spoiler for anyone who hasn't read a 100-year-old book.
I don't remember it, so go for it.
So, he's got this moral dilemma of, do I do what is right by the culture or what is actually right? And this dude's been, and the kid's been brainwashed thinking slaves are property his entire life, so he thinks he's doing the wrong thing by protecting his friend and not turning him in. Completely assuming he's going to burn in hell for this shit, but he can't betray his friend, showing exactly how moral and how good a person he is, because he's doing the right thing even though society says it's wrong. And the whole nigger Jim drives that home because it's showing what this kid was taught, what he believed, and how his adventures with Jim and getting to know Jim as a person and realizing he's an actual human being.
That's why they did it. It was to drive that message home.
Once you change it to African, once you do anything to lessen that, you lessen the punch of this kid thinks he's going to burn in hell for freeing a black man. But he has to do it because it's the right thing to do, even though everyone else says it's wrong.
Yeah, it really takes away from the whole ending of the book, really, the journey.
Yeah, and it's like that with most pieces of art. A true work of art in literature, the words were chosen for a specific reason, and once you change them, at best diminish the art, at worst you ruin it.
Yeah, it's the same with movies. Every scene in a movie is picked for a reason. It's not just arbitrarily put in there.
Oh,
these things cost a lot of money to make.
The room might have like a word with you.
Of black and white also. If it was shot in black and white, don't color it.
Yeah. That's another good one.
The cinematography was shot that way for a reason. And once you start changing the colors, you may change what the focus of the scene was supposed to be. Oh, it's, yeah.
Well, and then you get movies like Wizard of Oz, which use the black and white on purpose for, you know, parts of the movie.
Yeah.
In that way, you can call me a conservative. Shouldn't fuck with art.
So, I would like to see the Internet Archive win this, but I kind of suspect they won't.
Yeah.
Because whereas their argument is, like you were just talking about, Madman, their argument might be morally correct. I don't think it's a very legal one. So, next article. This one's from Android Police, and this is weird. It kind of gives the game away, but this is weird. Proton VPN is now free to use without an account on Android.
And you're the product.
Yeah,
it's weird. Where's the catch?
Proton VPN is now offering credentialless logins on Android, making it easier for users to access the service. Proton has expanded its free server offerings to 21 countries holding elections this year to help residents access the internet privately. Proton's move to attract more users comes on the heels of the shutdown of the Google One VPN service. So the article here actually says, if you're new to the world of VPNs or are looking for the best VPN services, there's probably no better option than Proton. Okay, they paid for that. Proton VPN has consistently been praised as most secure and private. No, they haven't. They've had problems. The company keeps adding more and more features. Okay, so this is an ad.
I was going to say, when did we start doing live reads?
I skimmed it, and I'm just looking at it, and it's like, oh.
Wait.
So, okay,
10 more seconds, Morps, and I was going to call it a live read.
Well, I mean, if you'll see why I didn't see this paragraph before, right? So
Yeah. If
you open the link, that first paragraph is kind of sandwiched weirdly in the article. And I just now realized what I'm reading is a fucking ad. Because I was going to read the whole article. I don't normally, okay, when I'm picking stories for the show, I skim them. I don't read the whole article. And I usually skip the first couple of paragraphs.
Yeah, you're trying to get bullshit to the gist of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, here it is. The company has announced that its app on Android now supports credentialless logins. Essentially, this means that users on Android can start using Proton VPN without needing to create a sign-in to an account. Users can connect directly to the service from the app's homepage after setting up the VPN profile. I thought you said you didn't need an account. Why am I setting up a profile? In addition to announcing VPN access without needing an account, that's back to the ad. So anyways, I think you're right. Are you? I think you're the product, and they've obviously got some way to identify the Android users without an account, right? They're picking a number off the phone, IMEI or something.
What I pulled out of that was 21 elections around the world being held.
Mm-hmm.
Proton hooked in with some sort of ratings agency, things like that, you know, in who's leading, who's actual leading, because people are speaking freely, and who's actually just getting, oh, this guy's the guy, because they're worried that they're going to piss someone off.
Well, the only other thing is it could be a loss leader trying to get people into their email system, because I think they charge like $15 a month for email or something like that. But I don't know. I feel like free VPNs I never trust a free VPN. Never trust
them. Yeah.
Even if it's one with a brand you like. Just anyways. Next article. This one actually was sent to me by Psychros from SBS News. Um So Julian Assange's wife Stella says they will seek a pardon as part of the U.S. plea deal. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange and his wife Stella will seek a pardon after he agreed to plead guilty to violating U.S. espionage law, bringing his long-running legal battle in Britain to an end. Julian Assange is expected before a court in Northern Mariana Islands, a U.S. territory in the Pacific, where he is due to face a judge as part of a plea deal that could see him freed to return to Australia. Stella Assange, a lawyer who has worked on his campaign almost since the start of his legal battle, said she was elated at the move, but still angry that they had been held for so long. She said they would work to seek a pardon because the acceptance of guilt on an espionage charge was a very serious concern for journalists around the world. She also said they would launch a fundraising campaign as a flight from London to Sepien for a court hearing and then to Australia would cost $500,000 U.S. dollars. Good God, why is that flight so much?
Flying private.
Mm.
Would you want the risk of being diverted?
Oh, no, you're right, charter a flight. Yeah, quote, it's Australian policy that he will have to pay his own return flight, so he's had to charter a flight, and he will basically be in debt when he lands in Canberra, Assange said.
It's Canberra.
Canberra, thank you. A plane carrying the WikiLeaks founder landed in Bangkok on Tuesday afternoon to refuel before flying the WikiLeaks founder to a court hearing in Sepien, the capital of the Northern Mariana Islands. Assange, whose extradition was long sought by the United States, has agreed to plead guilty to a single count of conspiracy to obtain and disseminate national defense information, according to the court documents. A charter flight flew Assange from London, and Agence France-Presse journalists, I said that very wrong, saw it touch down at Bangkok's Dong Myung Airport around 12:30 p.m. local time. Senior Thai official told Agence France-Presse that Assange's name was on the passenger list. Quote, the plane is expected to refuel and resupply with water before departing at 9 p.m. for the Sepien Island. Unquote. The official said, okay. Anyways, the article goes on, but so Assange is finally out moving, trying to make it back to Australia. Cykros had a fun post with the link he sent me saying that, going to party or to celebrate freedom in Australia is sort of like celebrating celibacy in Vegas. You know, it's not, but I think he's from Australia, isn't he?
He's
originally.
Yeah. Yep. So I think he's just trying to go home.
And after that, I wonder why he's needing to do a charter instead of just a commercial flight.
And I must admit, Cykros, very low blow. But you're not wrong, man. You're definitely not wrong.
He said it. You know, he was kind of comparing it to divers having to, you know, come up for air slowly. You know, with the bends, he's gotta work it out. But I don't know. The whole Julian Assange thing is weird because, I mean,
you can lie, cheat, steal, fuck around as much as you want, but don't embarrass those who rule over you. That's the Julian Assange fucking lesson, kids.
I mean, ostensibly, should I have freedom of the press? But,
argument from the U.S. side wasn't as much that he was publishing secrets. It's that he was supplying tools to individuals to acquire those secrets.
Well, yeah, because he did instruct Manning on how to best extract information, didn't he?
Yeah, so it was the, if you were a newspaper receiving things, you would have been fine. But you were talking them through how to steal shit, you're a co-conspirator, argument from the state.
His problem was he went with Manning, who's a sub-fucking 64 IQ person, where Snowden, you know, is 100... fucking points plus and did it right. That's where it went wrong. Because no one's been fucking jailed for publishing the Snowden stuff.
As far as we know, no one helped Snowden steal the shit.
That's what I mean. See, Snowden did it the right way.
But Snowden didn't go directly to WikiLeaks. He went to couple of different publishers, didn't he? And they actually went back to the government and said, we've got all this. What can we not publish so we don't murder anyone?
Yeah, it was a very interesting tale. I think Glenn Greenberg was one of the guys on it, and he now lives somewhere outside the U.S.
Greenwald?
Extradition. Yeah.
Yeah, he went to Brazil for a long time. I don't know if
he's back or not. I think he's still there. He was very worried.
Well, he tried to make a whole career out of it, and you know, because what did he start? The Intercept, and then that got taken out from under him by a different group of people. So I don't know what ended up happening with Greenwald.
He's on Substack now. Does some really good work on Substack and does guest appearances on different podcasts every now and then.
But I mean, his story is pretty interesting too, because the whole Intercept thing. You know, he's,
the Intercept story is a shit show and a half, man.
Yeah, I know, but it's weird that they put all this money into developing a blog, and then that somehow he lost control over it, and these other people took it over.
Yeah, I think if you take your eye off the ball with these sort of people, because they're just vultures. They don't want to build anything themselves. They just want to co-opt it and fucking steal it.
Well, that's kind of what happened with, for fuck's sake. Veritas.
D&D.
Yeah, D&D too.
Yeah, Veritas, yeah, it happened to him. Yeah. But once again, you can lie, steal, cheat, fucking, but the minute you tell the truth that embarrasses the people that rule over you, you are fucked. Tucker Carlson didn't get sacked for lying. He got sacked for getting too close to the truth.
I thought he got sacked because the guy who owned Fox, his wife had a crush on him.
That's the cover story, but he was hitting fucking Pfizer really hard, man. He was talking shit about Pfizer.
So, anyways, breaking news. Presidential Live updates. Biden has a cold, team says of his weak performance.
And it begins.
Dude sounded like death warmed over, at least for the first hour we listened to. It's just like,
I mean, if just go a quick 2 minutes on this, because you brought it up. I didn't think Trump bought it. It didn't bring any energy. He just kept it very docile.
Trump was playing it safe because he's winning.
Trump has to
not appear crazy. And Biden has to appear competent, and it's hard for Biden to appear competent.
It's like, okay, does he have a pulse? Okay, now what about competence?
They just got into a nice little fight about golf.
But what? I don't know. That debate lost me about an hour in. It's just like, what the fuck? So, I think at one point Biden called for nuclear war. What?
Yeah. We'll go back over it later.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, keep going.
There'll be plenty of people pulling clips out of it and laughing at it, so. Next article is from CNBC. The European Union on Tuesday accused Microsoft of breaching antitrust rules with the abusive bundling of its Teams and Office products. Last year, tech giant unbundled Teams from Microsoft 365 in an effort to quash antitrust concerns by the EU, but the European Commission said the changes were insufficient to address its concerns. Microsoft said Tuesday it would work to find solutions to... Yeah, okay. The European Union on Tuesday accused Microsoft of breaching antitrust rules with the abusive bundling of its Teams and Office products. Quote, the European Commission has informed Microsoft of its preliminary view that Microsoft has breached EU antitrust rules by tying its communication and collaborative products Teams to its popular productivity applications included in its suite for businesses Office 365 and Microsoft 365, unquote. The European Commission, the EU's executive arm, said in a statement of objections, which sent to inform companies of concerns raised against them. Somebody tell the EU to bitch them out for renaming Azure AD to Intra. Shit is confusing, man. They just renamed a thing, and we're having these conversations at work, and it's just like, the fuck is Intra? And I have to go look it up, and it's like, that's Azure AD. Why the fuck? They changed the name just to be confusing. It's like, fuck you. Sorry.
That's how they do.
Sorry, I'm not biased at all. You were saying? No? Okay. if the commission decides that an infringement has taken place once companies have responded, it can ban the conduct and fine the charge company up to 10% of its global revenue. Microsoft took the preemptive step to unbundle Teams from Microsoft 365 in an effort to quash antitrust concerns by the EU. However, the commission said in its Tuesday statement that the changes were, quote, insufficient to address its concerns and that more changes to Microsoft's conduct are necessary to restore competition, unquote. And actually, this is totally true. I know of multiple companies, including two that I've worked for, that had Slack. I mean, they had full-on paid Slack accounts. Then went to Office 365. And then moved everyone over to Teams because Teams came with Office 365. And why are we spending money on Slack if we're getting the same thing? Well, 80% of the same thing for free with Microsoft, quote unquote free. They were paying for it, but they were already going to pay for Office 365 anyways for email. So, it is arguably a monopolist tactic.
Yeah, we moved to Teams from something. I don't know.
Probably HipChat. That's the other big one. HipChat, Slack, Discord's making a play for some of the business market, but they're pretty heavily branded as a gaming platform, so they're having a hard time with that. There's a few others. But HipChat and Slack are the two biggies. Jira is another one that people sometimes throw in that list. No, not Jira. That's a ticketing system. Jabber. Jabber's the one I'm thinking, the Cisco thing.
Oh, God. So. That, I know it's not Jabber's fault, but I have a problem with Jabber.
A lot of people have a problem with Jabber. And you're right, it's not Jabber's fault. It's the people who set up your Jabber server's fault. Because you can set up Jabber to be a fairly nice system. Just nobody does.
They set it up to take phone calls for certain people.
Yep.
But my problem isn't that they set up Jabber for certain people. It's that they set up Amazon for everyone else, and the two systems don't talk to each other.
Yeah, so you actually had to call out to an external exchange to call people inside the company, didn't you?
No, I just transferred people to this number that was supposed to work. And it dumped them to nothing.
Oh,
and
God.
I didn't know this was happening until I get a VP calling me back. It's like, hey, dude, I wanted to get back to you because you knew what was going on. But the department you sent me to didn't get sent to. What's going on? They're like, okay, not a problem. This department's in the same building I'm in. Normally, I wouldn't do this because I'm lazy. But you have Veep in your title, so I'm going to put you on hold one month. I'm going to walk my fat ass down this aisle and find out what's going on.
Now I'm going to have to get business cards because if a man, you know, respects that job title, well, I'm going to have some fun.
So I do this and I found out what happened was fuck Jabber.
Fair
or
enough.
Fuck Amazon. Fuck them both.
You know, I've not used the Amazon phone system, but I've never heard good things about it.
No, it sucks. I tell it that I'm in the middle of some project because I need to actually fix a problem before someone else tells me another problem. And it says I'm available, and then I'm just ignoring people. Yeah, fuck that shit.
Well, that's part of the problem I have with Teams. It's not really that Teams does it. It's that the people I work with just ignore the status in Teams.
Yeah.
But maybe that's a different problem. Because I have a PM who will just start pulling you into meetings. And if you decline saying, I'm in the middle of something right now, they'll just keep calling you. Just again, over and over and over again. It's really frustrating, actually. Like you have to keep
close Teams.
Well, if the problem is I'm usually on a Teams call with somebody else when she starts doing that. So I can't exactly close Teams. You can put it on Do Not Disturb. I can message him back saying, hey, I'm on another call. I can't leave this. And she doesn't respond. She just calls you again. And it's because she wants a status update on something that's just, you know, on the, it's like, fuck off. Project managers add nothing of value to any company. They don't do shit. They take up space, time, and air. I'm not bitter. Not bitter at all. Microsoft took the preemptive step to unbundle Teams from Microsoft 365 in an effort to quash antitrust concerns by the EU. However, the commission said in its Tuesday statement that the changes were insufficient. I think I already read this. Microsoft said it would work to find a solution to address the commission's additional concerns. Having unbundled Teams and taken initial interoperability steps, we appreciate the additional clarity provided today, unquote, Microsoft's vice chair and president Brad Smith said in an interview Tuesday. Company shares were broadly unchanged in pre-market trading Tuesday. Well, yeah, I mean, they didn't charge people less because they weren't getting Teams anymore. The EU opened its investigation of Microsoft, which remains ongoing, in July of 2023 after a complaint by Salesforce owning Slack, which was a rival chat service to Teams, or which has a rival chat service to Teams. The commission's concerns are centered around the fact that starting in or around 2019, Microsoft tied Teams with its software as a service or applications such as Office. It notes that Microsoft is, quote, dominant worldwide, unquote, in software as a service market for professional productivity applications, quote. In particular, the commission is concerned that Microsoft may have granted Teams a distribution advantage by not giving customers a choice whether or not to acquire Teams when they subscribe to their software as a service productivity applications, unquote. EU regulators wrote, noting that the tech giant's advantage may have been exacerbated by limitations of interoperability, the ability of two or more systems to work together between Microsoft offerings and Teams competitors. Well, yeah, they just don't. You end up having to run multiple chat softwares. Quote, the conduct may have prevented Teams rivals from competing and in turn innovating to the detriment of customers in the European economic area, unquote, the commission said. Oh, I'm sure that happened, because you had tons of companies say, why am I paying for Slack when I'm already getting Teams for free? And Windows 11, they included Teams installed by default. You couldn't get rid of it. Well, you could, but, you know, you couldn't get rid of it through a Microsoft menu. You had to use third-party tools or know what the hell you were doing on PowerShell to get rid of it. So, yeah. It's just amusing because this is the Internet Explorer argument all over again. 30 years later, and they've learned nothing.
Yeah, but I have trouble saying you're penalized for giving something away. I don't. Maybe it's just me, but I don't see how they're hurting someone else.
Well, because they have higher tiers of team service that you pay for. Things like integrating it into your phone system.
And if I don't want that, I don't have to pay for it. I can go with one of these other competitors.
Yeah.
And I can just use their free version up until, like, oh, this isn't doing what I want anymore. Time to open up bids. What's the best service out there?
And, well, I mean, Madman, how many companies do you know using Teams?
Oh, lots of them.
Mm-hmm. It's not that you or I might look at it and say, I need a better solution. Let's go find a better software. You've got a VP of finance somewhere going, I'm not paying for this software. I've already got something that does it.
Yeah, but it's not doing what we want. You're going to have to pay more. So since you're going to need to pay more, if we can find a better thing within the budget of what you're going to be paying, since this is outside of the free tier,
yeah, but
let's look and see
that,
what we have.
That extra tier up on Teams is probably still cheaper than an entire Slack subscription.
All right.
So it's one of these things that I think there's merit to their argument, but like anything, there's always going to be arguments around it. You know what I mean? Because you're right. You could easily, and you do have people who prefer Slack. A lot of developer teams want Slack. They don't want to be on Teams. They want to use Slack because Slack has better integrations and Slack is a better platform for a lot of what they're doing. But, you know, a lot of the times in a lot of companies, it's not the tech people that make the decision. It's the bean counters. So I mean, I doubt how much input do you have on the software you get to use at work on a day-to-day basis, Medvin?
Oh God, none. Now they say I have input. They're like, "What do you want this to do?" Like, I want it not to suck, but guess what? It's gonna fucking suck.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but when you're talking to developers, "don't suck" is not a very good requirement line.
I know. I gave them a list of what I actually wanted the software to do, and eventually it's going to do it.
Probably right after you retire.
The current bundle we're going with is my company decided to develop something to what we want it to do rather than buy a pre-existing service.
Always interesting how long it takes them to develop something.
Yeah. And for the most part, the stuff I use has been hammered out. I have to say for the most part, because it does randomly break, and I wonder what the fuck happened over the weekend. This shit isn't working right now. Or none of my files update unless I restart my computer. But it's not restart the program. Restart the entire computer. What's up with this? But I'm not going to say the actual program because it is being developed.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I think the EU's got a point here. It'll be interesting to see what ends up happening with it ultimately. Is it a strong point? Eh, but it's a point.
I think Microsoft is going to get fined because the EU wants money.
Well, there's probably
a way it's going to work.
There's a good chance of that. Last article I have for tonight is from PCGamesIn.com. I don't even need to read the whole article because it's mostly fluff. $19 billion. Oh, wait. Let's read it correctly. Steam users have spent $19 billion on games they've never played. They... apparently, Steam ID Finder has a pile of shame. This, I think, we were all looking at a similar website that does this, where you could, you know, you could punch in your Steam ID if it was public. It would pull your games and your play times and tell it how much money you've spent on games you've never played. And apparently, of the public Steam profiles, it totals up to about $19 billion on games that people have never played. So.
I'm seeing Gabe cry rivers of tears.
What's the meme where the guy mops up his tears with the money?
Yeah.
I'm going with that's one of those ways where statistics tell you the truth while lying to you. And I'm going to use the example of the last Humble Bundle I bought. Just because... I wanted Back for Blood. It was, I think, $20 cheaper in the Humble Bundle. Like, the Humble Bundle was $20 cheaper than Back for Blood.
And it included, like, 20 games.
And it included 20 or 30 games, 4 or 5 comic books, a couple of ebooks, and I don't know if I've played any of the other games that came with it, even though I've installed them all. And I've read a couple of the comic books and downloaded a couple of the ebooks because one of the ebooks was a role-playing book from the same dudes that do Pathfinder, except it was Pathfinder in space. And it looks pretty cool. But that would count on this $19 billion, but I didn't spend... any money to get games I wasn't going to play. I saved $20 on a game that I would play by buying a bunch of games I had no intention of ever looking at, but I may actually play one day. I got free shit. That was effectively free shit saving $20.
I know where you're coming from, Madman. And yes, I've got games like that too, but also I'm saying... We were talking last week and someone's like, "Hey, I want to play a game that's like this. I wish a game like that." And I'm like, "Well, you have that game." "Oh, really?" And they hadn't even played it. Yet they had a game that they wanted to play. They were describing the gameplay they wanted to have and the experience. They didn't realize they already had that game. I think a lot of people buy stuff on sales, or you know, they're having a couple of sherries before bedtime, and they forget that they've purchased things.
Well, I mean, that happens to me all the time where shit shows up from eBay. It's like, well, I don't know why I needed a 286, but I've got one.
Yeah, that's... My life has been much better since I've removed my credit card from Steam.
So...
This is the best. I thought it was going to be the worst thing for my life. I'm like, this is so refreshing.
The
waking up, no extra games in the morning.
Well, and plus, too, you'll have like a bundle, you know, sort of like what Madman was saying with the Humble Bundle. Steam has their own bundles. And so,
yeah,
like, you know, at one point I bought a bundle that had all of the id games in it. And it's like, you know, for the longest time, I did not reinstall and go back and play Quake 1 and Quake 2. I'd played them when they were out, and I didn't feel the need to play them again at the moment. But they did the remasters, and then I ended up going back and replaying them. But already had them because I had them in the bundle. But I, you know, like, I had Wolfenstein 3D in there. It's like, I hadn't played Wolfenstein 3D since I ran it on an actual 486, but one day you're just sitting your list. I'm like, I'm going to play that. So load it up and play it. And then you immediately message me and you're like, why are you playing that? Retro much? You're making fun of me for it. But I was having fun.
I wasn't making funny because I'm doing the same thing. I'm playing Quake, the original.
You playing the remaster or the old school?
The remastered one.
It's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only reason I noticed. I'm like, wow, we had the exact same fucking idea to play 1990s games again. I'm like, shit has gotten really bad in the gamings when people are doing that. But a lot of people play retro stuff.
I mean, hell, I've been replaying the Fallout 3 lately. So, you know, fuck. I didn't realize that game was as old as it was, because I was joking that it's Skyrim with guns. No, it's actually Oblivion with guns. It's like, oh, fuck.
So. I'm thinking of having a crack at Skyrim for the first time. Okay. I've started that game probably 3-4 times and fell off it.
You're just going to ignore the main quest and just go, you know, fuck shit up?
That's what I'm thinking I might do.
I mean, that's what you do in a Bethesda game half the time.
Exactly. That's what I enjoy the most.
And don't try min-maxing. I find that killed it for me.
Yeah, I just thought I'd have a nice casual encounter with the game. You know, nothing. But from what I remember before, you know, I got to a certain part, and then I'm like wandering off in areas where I probably shouldn't be and getting my ass kicked.
I did that playing Morrowind. Like, who's this Dagoth character? And I'm dead.
I'm just looking at the front page of Steam because the sales are up, and there's nothing here that I'm interested in.
Well, for that, we'll move on to, I guess it's not really a digital dojo, but we'll move on to this. I can't remember if I've linked this as a dojo before or not, or maybe it was a similar website, but, Spudguns.org, the definitive potato canning guide.
Oh God, it even looks like a 1990s fucking website.
This is a if it's the website if it's the same one I've linked to before, it's been redone because it didn't look like this. It was white, but yeah, I just came across this the other day, and I'm like, this is awesome. This is now Digital Dojo because they get into the physics of how to make a spud gun and how to build them, and they got a bunch of different designs, and it's just fun. So, yeah, it's good to know.
Hey.
Does anyone else use hairspray as their preferred propellant in their spud gun?
Hairspray works. It was a cologne spray that had a lot of alcohol in it. I forget what it was called now. Axe body spray works too, because that's got a lot of alcohol in it. It smells gross though when it burns. But yeah, the last time I did one, we were using the Axe body spray. It's been several years. Still kind of hard to get the mix just right, but when you did, boom! It's great fun. So, anyways, that's obviously up to potato guns. That's all I got for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday or thereabouts. the Galaxy 15 radio site. I could not get into the IRC tonight. I apologize. Can't read who all's in there. The BBS. Cycross did send me several stories on the BBS. We used one tonight. Madman, closing thoughts.
I couldn't get in the IRC either. And New York has banned selling restaurant reservations on the black market. And I want to point out that the whoever wrote that article is an idiot. They didn't ban it on the black market. It was already banned there. Actually, that's what's creating the black market. They were banning reselling restaurant reservations.
That's a oddly specific problem to have.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. And if I knew that this was a thing, I would have been doing it before now. After I saw how much money people were making. Because lots of really high-end fancy restaurants that people just go to New York to go to, they don't charge for reservations. So a site just started calling up restaurants, booking everything. And then you had to go to that site to get a table. And they were upcharging for reservations for everywhere.
Wow.
New York State banned that. I don't know how they're going to enforce it.
I just
no. It's a fucking weird one.
Well, I mean, on one hand, innovative business idea. On the other hand, what a dick.
Yeah, that's
what a fucking dick.
I'm caught between capitalism and you being a cunt.
Oh, I'll shake your hand and then beat you to death.
Like I'm going to shake your hand.
Dude. I mean, you made a few million dollars. Now, how much are you going to pay me not to cut you up into little pieces and feed you to the fish?
Well, that escalated quickly. I was just going to say I'd shake your hand and then keep a grip on your arm to hold you steady as I kicked you in the nuts. But anyways, that's all I got. Madman, that was your closing thought, wasn't it?
Yep.
Are you? Closing thoughts?
I have nothing.
Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional zombie apocalypse. Your satisfaction is very important to us.
God hates Australia.
Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.